Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 8th Sunday after Pentecost, and we continue to follow the journey of Jesus and his disciples to Jerusalem. Now, in the Gospel today, along the way, someone came up to Jesus and presented him with his request. "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." In answer to this request, Jesus tells the story of the rich fool. Let us note here that Jesus meant this story to be an illustration of his teaching about material possessions. What do we do with money? What do we do with our material possessions? First, the story was meant to show the meaning of what Jesus said in the beginning of this section, where he said, "Nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, nothing secret that will not become known." In other words, Jesus is not using the story to respond to the request itself, but to the hidden agenda behind the request. You see, Jesus knew that the inheritance or its division among the heirs is not the problem. Remember that in the time of Jesus, the law of Moses is clear in terms of inheritance and division of inheritance. The firstborn, according to the law of Moses, gets two parts to one part for the second son. So the problem is, when one wants more than one's fair share, when one wants more and more and more, that is the problem. That is why Jesus says, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness or greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." So you see, Jesus saw that greed was the hidden agenda, and he was responding to this real problem. So let us look at the story in more detail and see how Jesus uses it to illustrate about greed and its correlative, the handling of wealth and possessions. The story opens: the land of a rich man produced abundantly. So the man was rich prior to this harvest, and the harvest simply increased his wealth. Jesus portrays here a windfall harvest, far in excess of the rich man's investment in planting and tilling. As we shall see, the abundant harvest raises the question: what responsibility does one incur when one acquires more than one's need? I do not know if we ever asked that question to ourselves. What responsibility do you have when you have more than what you need? And this is the response of the man in the story: "I will pull down my barns and build larger ones." Note that Jesus did not suggest that the man has come by the great harvest dishonestly. There is no suggestion that the man misused his hard hands. But what is wrong with the man's response? The first hint of the wrongness lies in the man's use of the first person pronoun. You know, if you read the story carefully, in the story the man uses the word "I" 6 times and the word "my" 5 times. He gives no thought to a bonus for his hired hands. He offers no word of thanksgiving to God for this tremendous harvest. Everything is "I" and "my." So since he has more than enough to meet his needs and to live in luxury, all he could think about is to enjoy his wealth. Therefore, his solution: eat, drink, and be merry. That was his plan. However, as we shall see, this plan did not work. Because in the next verse 20, the master in the story said, "You fool! God speaks here and doesn't call the man sinful or evil, but foolish. The man did nothing wrong in acquiring his wealth." When the Lord addresses the man as fool, he indicates the man's blindness in judging life's priorities. The man says to himself, "You have ample goods laid up for many years." But God says, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you." And so the problem is not the man's wealth, but his greedy hoarding and his desire to get more. That there is never a point where there is enough, where enough is enough. But then the end comes, and the real question becomes, "And the things that you have stored, whose will they be?" That's the crux of the question. The answer to this last question brings us back to the teaching of Jesus and the handling of wealth and possession that is illustrated by this story. You know, our wealth and possessions in life are not meant to be stored. Like what happens in death, when possessions are divided and shared by the heirs, so it should happen in our lifetime. That means to say that possessions are meant to be shared. Let's repeat that. Possessions are not meant to be stored, but possessions are meant to be shared. The underlying reason for this is, so it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich toward God. In other words, the question becomes, how to be rich toward God? So let me suggest the following way of doing this, by way of giving you some questions. Number one, are we thankful to God by acknowledging that all that we have are His abundant blessings? Second, do we acknowledge the fact that we are just God's stewards of all that we have? And third, do we accept the truth that all we have are meant to be shared? Let this be our food for thought and food for our journey in our own life today and tomorrow. Amen.